Well, good morning, everyone. Good morning. What a beautiful, sunny morning we have before us. And it is nice to see you all here on a what would we say, a normal Sunday morning. Last week was quite extraordinary, and I do thank you for all of your support. So many of you texting, so many of you getting in touch to let us know that you were praying for us, and we definitely knew that special presence of the Lord. Tonight, it is our joint evening service. We were in First Larne for the first two. We're going to be in Craigie Hill with Gardenmore and First coming up to us tonight, next week, and the following. I'll lead, but we have a special guest, no stranger to us, Mr. Keith Preston, Dad. given the week that was in it, I was planning to preach actually from 2 Kings 4, but just with all that happened last week and then taking the funeral of Mr. Steele, of course, on the Thursday, I thought, well, I'll ask Dad. So he's going to give the three churches an update on the work and the meeting point in North and South Belfast. So I'll lead, and then we'll hand over to the Isle Boy at some point during the service. Now, also, we have summer worksheets for the older boys and girls who are staying in. Don't worry if you didn't get them this week, but take them if you would like and keep them and use them for the summer services. Also, one for our diaries, the 30th of August, or 30th of July, 30th of July, that's the final Saturday in July, from 4 p.m. To a little bit later on, we're having our motors at night. So from 4 p.m., cars will be assembling, and we want to invite you, as our congregation, to come along to see that, poke around the cars, and I think we're catering. We'll have some burgers or that sort of kind of, yes, burgers and that sort of thing for folk. And then Martin's going to share a little bit about, I think, from his testimony and a challenge to the folk assembled over in the hall. So that's the 30th of July. Invite your friends. Give the car a polish and bring it up. Why not? We would love to see you then the 30th of July, our motors night. Finally, with sadness, I do have to announce the death of Mrs. Sophia Ray. Last Friday morning. Sophia and Jim, of course, were well known to us here from Shanley Drive, and our sympathies as a congregation do go to indeed Sophia's children, to Lorraine, to Bryce, and their spouses, to Brian and Alison, and the grandchildren. We will assemble for the funeral service from the church at 2 p.m., from here, 2 p.m. on Tuesday, and then to Larne Cemetery, and then back to for tea in the halls. So I do know that Lorena Bryce will appreciate your prayers and appreciate your presence, if you can be here, of course, for them on Tuesday at 2 p.m. as we indeed thank the Lord for the life that he did give to Sophia, and hear his gospel. We'll remember them in prayer a bit later in the service. Let's pray. Our Father, how, Lord, even the psalmist captures, Lord, it for us, that though tears may last through the night, joy comes with morning rays. How that is, Lord, our testimony, Lord, that joy comes as we dwell in your light. Joy comes as we are reminded of the many times in which we have cried to you, and Lord, you have brought aid to us. Lord, you have rescued us. You have not let, indeed, our foes gloat triumphantly over us. Oh, Father, how the greatest foe, indeed, death itself, even sting was borne by our Saviour. Father, we thank you that we have, Lord, life-changing, life-transforming, life-saving news, Lord, to rejoice in here this morning. Lord, how your great goodness to us, Lord, is from everlasting to everlasting. We have a hymn of praise to bring to you here this morning. And yet, Father, we know as we gather each one, as we bow our heads from the youngest to the eldest, Father, how you search us. Lord, how you know us completely. And Father, we do wish to, Lord, keep our accounts short with you. We confess our sins in word and thought and in deed. And Father, we lament the wrongs that we have done. We lament the goods that we have left undone. And Father, we pray as your Spirit convicts us, Lord, even lead us to the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be reminded that in him we can know forgiveness. In him there is righteousness. Oh, Father, we thank you that our imperfect life is covered by his perfect life. Oh, Lord, how you preserve us in Christ, how you keep us in Christ for eternal life. Oh, Lord, what a message, what good news is ours. We, a people destined for death, And now in Christ, destined for life, indeed life eternal, free from the presence of sin forevermore. Oh Lord, we do pray that here this morning you would stir us up to be reminded of that saving news, to be reminded of the simplicity of it. And we pray, Father, that as it is sounded forth, even those who have come under the sound of the gospel the week past, Lord, would yet, Lord, by the work of your Holy Spirit, be convicted of sin and be led to the one, indeed, who has told them of all they've ever done, who knows them completely, indeed, who even for his elect went to Calvary itself and died for them, that they may know forgiveness and life eternal. So, Father, we pray you would bless our praise here this morning. And Lord, our time together, that it would be sweet. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, the assembly of your people. And we thank you for what encouragement that is to us. So, Father, we pray these things in Jesus Christ's strong name. Amen. Amen. Well, we were reading through Isaiah. I think we got to Isaiah 50 and verse 6 last week. So we'll start at verse 7 and read through to the end there of chapter 50. Even as we've sung in Psalm 30 about how the Lord rescues us, or indeed in our call to worship from Psalm 139 of how the Lord holds our hands. Here now in Psalm 50, did not plan it so, but yet again we see how the Lord helps me, how the Lord will indeed be alongside those who fear his voice. Isaiah 50 and verse 7. Let's hear God's word. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint. And I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like garments, like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of his servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches. Walk by the light of your fire and the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand. You shall lie down in torment. Amen. Indeed, we thank the Lord for his word. And we do pray those who kindle a fire would yet turn and obey the voice of his servant, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray, shall we? Oh, our Father, how there's, Lord, nothing our peace can destroy. Lord, as we know you as our Savior, as we know, Lord, that help and aid. And Father, we pray that you would dwell now richly amongst us, even as we open your word, and help us to focus on that which you would say to us today from, indeed, 1 Thessalonians. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Now, with our Bibles open, we'll read verses 5 to 7 of 1 Thessalonians 1. 5 to 7. 1 Thessalonians 1, our passage this morning. Last week, of course, we thought about, for we know, brothers, loved by God, that he has chosen you. And we start here now at verse 5, and read 5 to 7. Hear God's word to us. Because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. Amen. And we do thank the Lord for his word. Well, last Sunday morning we all gathered and we thought about God's love from verse 4 and indeed his election, his choosing. The morning, as it were, last Sunday morning after the Saturday night before, with the tragedy that had occurred at the bonfire. What a message, as I thought about and reflected through the week of God's love for his people and how it needed to be heard, indeed, sounded out and Christ pointed to. Well, this week we have 1 Thessalonians 1, 5 to 7 before us. I'm sure you are as well as I, but I am continually amazed by the providence that is God's planning, his ruling all things, the providence of God, because here we have a passage that was planned for, set out months previous, and now this week turns us to think about reaching out. And it gives us a general oversight of how people, by God's electing love, become Christians. And it's an instructive passage. This is an instructive passage for us here in Craigie Hill Presbyterian. When the Lord has opened up doors and homes in Antiville and in Craigie Hill, here he now would say to us of the spreading of the gospel. Our gospel came to you not only in word, but in power and the Holy Spirit with full conviction. And you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. When we've been praying, and you have been praying, for souls to be born again, to new life, here the Lord teaches us of the spreading of that saving news. You know, at a time whenever we might be vulnerable to we need a plan, we need strategy, we need to think about how this is all going to work out. We need fancy communication, we need more events. We need to look to earthly gurus to continue this heavenly work. Whenever you might be tempted to all of those things, here God's word has for me, has for you, the matter of how the church in Thessalonica came to be and came to grow. And for me anyway, such a wholly appropriate reminder as we consider our community, as we consider the word going forth. So we're going to think about that in three parts. Verse 5, saving news. Verse 6, sanctifying news. And verse 7, spreading news. And even as I'm giving our three parts, as it were, I already know what I'm going to major on, and it's mostly going to be in verse 5. So if we get to about 10 to 12, and we're still in verse 5, and you think to yourself, oh boy, we're still going to go for verse 6 and 7, the sanctifying and the spreading news, Don't worry. I'm in charge, and I'm preaching next Sunday morning. So we'll just come back to it again next Sunday morning. We'll think a little bit more about how the Thessalonians lived it out in the area. So it's all fine, but let's think. We'll begin with saving news anyway, and we'll see how we go. I see saving news in three parts here in this verse. The gospel came to you, and then not only in word, but also in power and the Holy Spirit, the second, resulting with full conviction. And then the third, you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. So it came in word, it came in divine power, and it came lived out. It came in the word, it came in divine power, and it was lived out. That's God's simple, saving, common recipe for loving and electing his people from death onto the new life, onto the new birth. It's the common, it's the simple way. The word with divine power and then lived out. Don't get me wrong. There are those extraordinary moments of God's saving power where he obviously can grip and grab a life. But we're talking about that ordinary, common for centuries upon centuries of the church bringing the word with divine power lived out. God builds a people. That's that. And even as I say ordinary, I mean, it's not really appropriate to use the word ordinary with, I mean, what it is to be taken from a lost eternity and brought to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can never really ever call that ordinary. I mean, that is the most wondrous supernatural act of God. Yet this is the pattern for the church. That's what we're thinking about here. The gospel came and was proclaimed in Thessalonica. And it's interesting theologically anyway that because salvation is all of the Lord, and Paul told them, and we thought about last week how God loved them and God chose them, what does he do in the very next breath? He talks about how they spread the word. He talks about evangelism, about the gospel coming to them, that the good news was preached and proclaimed. The good news preached and proclaimed. They weren't sitting about and saying, well, God loves them and God's chosen them, so God's just going to do all the work and we didn't need to do nothing. We just have to sit about. Well, no, they spread the word. They spread the word. It was preached and proclaimed. And what is this gospel that is mentioned here in verse 5? What's an ancient word here used? The evangel. It was used in the situation of the imperial cult. So there was this imperial cult that worshipped the emperor. And they would have used that word, evangel, the gospel, connected with the birth of Augustus, the emperor, throughout the empire. And they would have said they're spreading this gospel, this good news. And Augustus, you see, they would have spread this cult, would have spread it and said, well, this is an era of peace, an era of blessing for the emperor. Well, the early Christians and Paul took that word, that evangel, that gospel, and it was might have been used in one way by the imperial cult and the Romans, but they understood that the true gospel, the true saving news, it wasn't to be found in a birth in Rome, but a birth in Bethlehem. It wasn't found in Augustus, but in Jesus Christ. And that in a far deeper and a far enduring way, it would change the lives of those who hear it. The gospel came, and in word, came to you, not only in word. And I know Paul says, not only in word. And we are going to unpack what it means, not only in word. But you can't leap over the force of what he's saying here. There is first a proclamation of the word. The gospel was proclaimed and preached. Acts 17 tells us of that. They proclaimed the gospel in Thessalonica. There is a content. There is a content to the gospel. There is the Son of God, Son of Man, who is to be told of. There is sin and rebellion, like we were sharing a little bit with that police car and the warning sound, that people need to know of if they're to repent. There is a connection between the work of the Lord Jesus and our inability to work ourselves right from the sin. There is the connection of the cross of Calvary, where very God, very man died that the guilty may go free. And so Jesus rose again to new life, that we too would be follow him into a new birth. That one day our place of burial would be the place of our resurrection. The place of our burial one day would be the place of our resurrection when the Lord Jesus returns and the dead in Christ will rise in him. People have got to know these things. There's a content. Paul took the good news to Macedonia. Remember, he had heard the man from Macedonia, and the Spirit moved them to go. And there was a preaching of Christ in that region and in that city in Thessalonica. What did he say there? Well, we read that he said, "This Jesus whom I proclaim to you, he is the Christ." Now, that's so applicable, I think, today. That's so applicable today. You know, this is how it happened in ancient times, and people are not so different today. Larne is not so removed from Thessalonica. People's needs are still the same. There must be a spoken word concerning Jesus Christ. Now, it does not need to be fancy. It does not need to soar to the grand heights of oratory and all public speaking and all the rest. But people need told, and told simply, that there is a debt of sin that they cannot pay. That God is filled with wrath over sin. And yet, He provides the way, the truth, and the life in his own Son to bring his people from death to life. That's saving news. That is the word spoken. Think of all the news that you consume. Think of all the, not only do we consume news, but I guess in some ways we were a part of the news even the past week. But we consume news 24/7. News notifications on our phones, they beep, beep. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, you name it. News pops up. Not just news from world events or local events, but news from our friends. They're on holiday. They're away. News, news, news. All feeds into you. But does any of it compare to the saving news that you hear here this morning? That you hear at church, that we receive in the gospel? It is the best news that you could ever be told, that you could ever get a notification about. The gospel of Jesus Christ, that there is a hell that is to be avoided, yet we are bound for, yet Jesus died and rose again, that in him we would receive not hell, but heaven eternal. And in him there is a new life beginning now, and life to the full. That is the best saving news that you will ever hear. And it needs told. And it needs told. This passage, I get providence of God. Because I was trying to, minister and be about as we had our week before us. And yet this passage was in my mind because I knew we had to preach it. I had to find some time in the study to pull out a message for Sunday morning. And yet, in the providence of God, what a message for me to be mulling over in the week that it was. That the word, the gospel came to you. There must be a gospel told. Indeed, with those various opportunities I was given, we pray that the gospel was told. You know, so many these days, they want modern stories to tickle ears. They want a gospel that tells them it's all going to be fine and there's nothing to be done, everything will be okay. Others, they want a gospel, and they come into the church and they want to be told, well, how am I going to get rich? How's Jesus going to multiply my bank account? How am I going to be more powerful in my work? That's prosperity, a gospel, no gospel at all. Others just want to come on a Sunday morning and, well, give us a good show. Give us a good show. Put on a little bit of light entertainment. We're going on holiday later in August. What do they call it on the continent? Animation, isn't that right? The animation team. That's what they want at the front. Give us the animations. A bit of light entertainment. But that is not what we are here to bring. That is not what we're here to bring. There's a saving news to be told. And yet for this saving news to land, look at this next thing here. What does Paul say? He says, not only in word, but also in power in the Holy Spirit, full conviction. See, the second thing that Paul mentions here, and the second vital ingredient, is the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, Paul isn't referring to his own power here, as if his own wondrous speaking could save. No, it was not fancy words, it was not flattery that would give life to the gospel. It might look like that it could on the outside, but you know, man only looks at the outward appearance. The Lord looks at the heart, and it must be the Lord who has a dealing with the heart. The power referenced here is the power from the Holy Spirit. The work of the Holy Spirit that causes the word that's proclaimed to drill into human hearts and the human minds and bring them to saving, that saving relationship with the Lord Jesus. If there is no divine power, if there is no illuminating, inner illuminating work of the Holy Spirit, there is no result. No result. Paul knew that in that city. He brought the gospel. But it was the Holy Spirit who made it effective. Paul and his friends were on the street corners, were in the synagogue. They were sharing the good news. This Jesus is the Christ. But it was the Holy Spirit in power and in the Holy Spirit that made it effective. We are not so removed from those ancient people and those ancient times. We are the same. My public speaking, your speaking with your friends and sharing of the gospel is needed, but we must pray for the work of the Holy Spirit, because we are the same with our sins and our deadness to Christ. The preacher can proclaim the gospel, but for the saving news to take root and change lives upside down, there must be a supernatural work of the Lord. There must be a supernatural work of the Lord. Friends, pray for that work. Pray for the work of the Lord amongst the people, even from the last week. Pray for those conversations that you're having in your workplace or with your friends, that people would hear and that the Holy Spirit would water that soil and so spring new life from. The Word and the Holy Spirit, a soul-winning combination. And it results in a fresh conviction then in the believer. See there. Also empowered in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. Paul was not at the front. And he was of two minds about the matter. He was not, well, you know, you can do this and you can kind of follow Jesus if you want. And, well, or you can go your own way and sure, it'll all work out fine for you. He had full conviction of the saving news. He had a full conviction. Paul's in hostile territory. There's much opposition. We read of that opposition from the Gentiles and from the Jews. And yet there is a conviction in Paul's preaching. He wasn't giving the Thessalonians a bland political commentary on the empire. He wasn't given factual directions to the latest Olympic Games. Paul had full conviction because he was sharing the life-giving, the life-changing, the life-transforming news of Jesus Christ, who is the Christ, He was sincere. He had full conviction. Jesus Christ is the way to life, and the life to the full. Friends, do you have such a conviction that enables us to stand up against the world, to face it, and say, this way is life, and Jesus Christ is to be believed upon, trusted in, repented before, and followed. I know we're not all called to public speaking, but you can have full conviction in the saving news of the gospel. You should. Has it not been so in your own life? And you can say to your friend with full conviction, with sincerity, come to church and you'll hear saving news there. Here is a passage that helped me, you could say. Here, let me get you a little track. It maybe puts it better than I could, but I have conviction in this saving news. There is a hell to be avoided and a heaven to be gained through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can have that conviction stirring up in your bones. There's truth in these pages, divine truth that turns up our lives upside down and tells us it is finished. It is finished. Jesus Christ has had the victory. That's saving news. There's one further ingredient in that saving news recipe. And it's a season. I think it's a seasoning, I reckon. Because you can have the crucial word, you can have the Holy Spirit. And how great. There, look, see now. Next new sentence. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. You can have the crucial word, you can have the Holy Spirit. And how great to be seasoned. And it will be seasoned by Christian example, lived out amongst them. The Apostle Paul continues in the second half of verse 5 to remind the Thessalonians that not only was this the saving word and the saving news, the word along with divine power, but it was accompanied by a witness to Paul and his friends' conduct in the city. They were holy, they were righteous, they were blameless. He'll state that in verse 10 of chapter 2. That's not to boast in his own perfection or his own works. Rather, the evidence is that their behavior matched what they preached, that Jesus Christ saved them. Even Paul, who as Saul persecuted the church, hounded them, was there at Stephen's stoning, yet now a servant and a witness to Christ. They came to Thessalonica, and they were no hypocrites. They preached the saving news, and then they lived as those who were saved from death unto life. They did not go about continuing in trespasses and sin. Paul reminds them, you know what kind of men we prove to be. I think that's a key component for us to be reminded of after last week. At several points, and indeed several different people from our neighbours from the area, I said to me how important it was for us to be about, how important it was for us to be open, to be known. That was not a fancy corporate response. I didn't pull down, or you didn't pull down, our elders a manual of how to, what are we to do in a situation like that? We were just here and alongside. And truthfully, actually, that's something that you all have been doing for decades in Craigie Hill and Antyville. It's our home. It's our home. We preach Christ, yes, from the pulpit, from our homes and lives. And yet, in our lives and our church witness, it matches up, and it should match up to what we preach. I know we're not perfect, but our conduct is to be lived out in full view, seeking to follow the Lord, to love those whom he loves, to share his gospel with the sheep of his pasture. Now that is a slow work, that is a long work, a long-term work. And yet it is also at times a work where a lot can happen very quickly. We live out our Christianity amongst the people, concerned for their spiritual welfare, with an eye to moments where we can help, where we can be there. And so our own behavior matching what we preach. What a week that the Lord would have, 1 Thessalonians 1 and 5, for us. And that's it for saving news. The word preached in the power of the Holy Spirit and leading to the evidence of changed lives lived out amongst there. It's not complicated. Does not require big budgets. Does not need slick selling. Does not need fancy communication techniques. What we need is saving news. Preach the word, the Spirit moves, and we live it out amongst the people. How our full conviction, how our earnest desire, each one here, is that the Lord would bring from death to life. That it would be as in with the Thessalonians. It would be said, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. That people would turn to the real King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ, and so enthrone them in their lives. With all of what that means for changed behaviors, for morals, for perspective, do you have that full conviction that we have the best news you could ever imagine? The only news that saves eternal, that transforms boys and girls, moms and dads, grannies and grandads, families, streets, the community. Do you have that conviction? Well, let it not be bottled up, shut off, but with confidence amongst our community, our town, living out what we preach. Now, I promised you, it's 5 to 12, and there's still a sanctifying news and a spreading news. Well, you know what? God willing, we will have another Sunday ahead of us, and we can look in verses 6 to 10 then. Because that leads on from the word proclaimed, doesn't it? With Spirit's power and the authentic messengers. That saving news leads to sanctifying news. The people followed the Lord Jesus. We hear of how they were imitators. They imitated him, having joy of the Spirit even in affliction. And they knew persecution well in Thessalonica, with the Jews and wicked men dragging them before city authorities. That sanctifying news of a people's receipt of the word and following the Lord Jesus then spread. It was spreading news, wasn't it? The whole region heard of what was happening. The transformation was so clear in those Christians, so clear to many. It was an encouragement to believers and non-believers alike. We'll return and we'll think about that even next week. But this week, let's be reminded, let's be stirred up to full conviction of the saving news of the gospel. And pray for the accompanying work of the Holy Spirit, convicting, converting. And then we as messengers, prove what kind of men and women we are in our lives as we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of God, and the love of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Please be seated.